Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
War drums along the Dardanelles. The Kaiser in love. And Babe Ruth has a babe of his own. It's September 1922.
100 years from today.
World News Update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. British forces with heavy artillery have landed in Turkey to prevent Mustafa Kemal's troops in the wake of their victory in the Greco-Turkish War from taking control of the Dardanelles and the Bosphorus, which connect the Black Sea to the Aegean and then the Mediterranean. However, somewhat to the annoyance of the imperial government, the Canadian Prime Minister, Mr. Mackenzie King, has informed London that a parliamentary vote in Ottawa is required before a Canadian force can join them. This is an unprecedented assertion by a British dominion of independence in foreign affairs. The Turks are already seizing territory in the Allied neutral zone, including Ezina in Chanak, but British public opinion in England and in Canada is not in favour of a new war in Europe, and even British military commanders are said to be wary of delivering provocative ultimata to the Turks. The Conservative Party is opposed to war, but Liberal Prime Minister Lloyd George and Colonial Secretary Winston Churchill are eager to teach the Turks a lesson. In Paris, French Prime Minister Raymond Poincaré and Italian Ambassador Count Sforza are meeting with the British Foreign Secretary Lord Curzon in hopes of agreeing conditions for a negotiation with Mustafa Kemal. Kemal Pasha's objective is to rid Asia Minor of all remaining Greeks. He is close to completing what the Turks call the Great Offensive and has been mopping up the last holdouts, including Artaki and Pejaia. After the massacre of Armenians and the burning of Smyrna, Turkish attentions are now focused just to the north on Kunda Island, where Kemal's troops have invaded and slaughtered hundreds of Greeks. Greek children have been spared and will be sent to orphanages. The humiliation of the Greeks is total. In Athens, Prime Minister Nikolaos Triantafylakos resigned to be replaced by acting Prime Minister Anastasios Karalambis. A day later, Mr. Karalambis stepped down in favour of Sotirios Crocodas. Who appointed these prime ministers? A military tribunal. King Constantine has agreed to abdicate. For a second time, it is very rare for any nation to lose both its monarch and a prime minister within the same week, but that is the scale of Greek defeat.
Oh, do it again. I may say no, 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 but do it again. My lips just ache to have you take the kiss that's waiting for you. You know if you do, you won't regret it, come and get it all. No one is near. I may cry, oh, 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 but no one will hear. My mommy told me, cause he told me it is naughty, but then, oh, do it again. Please do it again.
His sons may say no, 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 but the German Kaiser has determined to do it again. Get married, that is. The former Emperor Wilhelm II has announced his engagement to Princess Hermina Royce of Greiz. The news has been poorly received not only by his sons, but also by Germany's monarchists, who regard the Kaiser's remarriage only a year after the death of the Empress as regrettable and distasteful. In In the hierarchy of Bolsheviks, most of us are familiar with Comrade Lenin and Comrade Trotsky, who are increasingly at odds with each other. But do you know Lev Kamenev? He has just been named as Soviet Russia's, quote, acting president of the Cabinet of Ministers, which sounds a lot like a prime minister. Comrade Kamenev replaces Mr. Lenin, about whose health rumors continue to circulate. At the close of the Congress of Berat in Albania, we have a new autocephalous denomination in the Eastern Orthodox churches. If you're wondering what autocephalous means, it means its head bishop will not report to any superior. The Albanian Orthodox Church will conduct its services in Albanian. The Patriarch of Constantinople has yet to respond. Albania joined the League of Nations last year. New membership has slowed somewhat in the last 12 months, but Hungary has now been admitted as the 52nd member and the first addition to the club this year. More League of Nations news. There's a new sheikh in town, the town being Amman. And the League has now approved the British memorandum setting the boundaries of Prince Abdullah's new emirate of Transjordan, which means the land across the Jordan River, over on the east side, where Emir Abdullah's new realm will be a British protectorate. On the west of the Jordan is the British Mandate of Palestine. In the United States, we have reported on hopes fading and then rekindled for the 47 miners trapped in the Argonaut mine in Jackson, California, since August 27th. More than 3 weeks later, a team from the Federal Bureau of Mines finally reached the men, 4,350 feet below the surface and behind a hastily improvised bulkhead of rocks stuffed with the miners' clothing to provide an airtight bulwark against carbon monoxide. When they broke through the crude wall, they found the bodies of all 47 men. A note near one suggested that all the miners have been dead since that first day last month.
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy. Who dares to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot the mother's darling boy? Let nations arbitrate their future trouble. It's time to lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
You didn't raise your boy to be a soldier, but how about if your boy got a raise for being a soldier? The World War Adjusted Compensation Bill is popularly known as the bonus bill because it provides America's wartime veterans with an extra dollar a day for every day they served between April the 5th, 1917, and July the 1st, 1919, in the United States, and an extra buck and a quarter for every day served overseas. The American Legion, among many other organizations, has been an enthusiastic promoter of the bill, but President Harding vetoed it on the grounds that, quote, it establishes the very dangerous precedent of creating a Treasury covenant to pay, which puts a burden upon the American people not to discharge an obligation, which the government always must pay, but to bestow a bonus which the soldiers themselves, while serving in the World War, did not expect. Even as he said it, he expected Congress to override his veto. The House of Representatives did so, voting overwhelmingly, 258-54, to obliterate the president's nay. However, in the Senate, the vote, somewhat surprisingly, fell four votes shy of the two-thirds majority required. It's all more straightforward with the Grain Futures Act, which Mr. Harding has signed into law, as well as the Lodge Fish Resolution, nothing to do with fishing lodges, but a resolution by two Republican senators, Henry Cabot Lodge of Massachusetts and Hamilton Fish III of New York, supporting the creation of a Jewish national home in the aforementioned British Mandate of Palestine. More congressional action. The Fordney-McCumber Tariff Act has now passed the Senate, and foreign manufacturers exporting to the U.S. now face the highest tariff rates in American history. The act is expected to raise the purchasing power of domestic farmers by 2 or 3%, but it is not yet known how America's trading partners overseas will respond.
Listen to me while I tell you of the Spaniard that blighted me life. Listen to me while I tell you of the man who stole my future wife. Was at the bullfight where we met him, enduring a staring display. And while I went out for some peanuts and a program, the dirty dog stole her away. Oh, yes.
That Spaniard may still be able to blight your life by stealing your women folk, but he needn't necessarily blight your woman's. The Cable Act, named for Congressman John L. Cable, or if you prefer, the Married Women's Independent Nationality Act, has been signed into law by President Harding. As you know, an American woman's citizenship is defined entirely by her man's. That's to say, if a daughter of the American Revolution should marry a Spaniard or any other foreigner, she automatically takes his nationality and loses her own. And any children of that marriage are also non-American. Now, however, an American woman who weds a non-US citizen will be able to keep her citizenship, but only if her husband is eligible for naturalization. Speaking of Americans, would you rather Puerto Ricans became foreigners? Three organizations in Puerto Rico, all committed to independence of the territory from the United States, have merged to form the Partido Nacionalista de Puerto Rico, the Nationalist Party of Puerto Rico. Henry Ford shut down his automobile plants indefinitely, leaving 100,000 workers idle because he did not want to enrich profiteers in the coal and steel industry. Now, just 5 days later, he has reopened them. Dearest, you were nearest to my heart, and now you're nearest to my corpse. Two bodies, a man and a woman, have been found in a field near the border of Somerset and Middlesex counties in New Jersey. Police from New Brunswick, Middlesex County, arrived first, but it was subsequently determined that the bodies were actually in Franklin Township, Somerset County. While the jurisdictional confusion was sorted out, curious onlookers trampled the crime scene and took souvenirs, of which there were rather a lot. Nevertheless, the thrust of the case seems clear. The dead man is an Episcopal priest from New Brunswick, Edward Wheeler Hall. The dead woman is Eleanor Mills, a female member of his church choir. Both bodies had been placed on their backs, their feet pointing to a crabapple tree. Both had been shot in the head with a .32 caliber. A hat had been put over the Reverend Hall's face, and his church calling card had been placed at his feet until one of the souvenir collectors took it. Torn up love letters were placed between the bodies, also of great interest to onlookers. The Reverend Hall's right arm was positioned to touch Mrs. Mills's neck, and Mrs. Mills's left hand was positioned to touch the Reverend Hall's right thigh. Despite the contamination of the crime scene, investigators are said to be focusing their attention on Mrs. Mills' husband and brothers.
Blue, 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 because we bought it. the time I was jolly. You know the reason I'm melancholy, blue, 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 and oh so lonely. True, 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 I want you only. We made a blunder, and lots of times I wonder, dear, if you're blue.
Never mind being blue and brokenhearted. Wouldn't you like to see blue and red and green and yellow and brokenhearted up there on the big screen? A new company has been formed with a $1 million initial investment to market and develop, quote, a process of coloring motion pictures in their natural tints. It was invented by the chemical engineer Daniel Frost Comstock of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The company is called by the somewhat unwieldy name of Technicolor Inc. The Scholastic Corporation, founded just 2 years ago by Morris Robinson, has published the first issue of a new periodical for American high school students, Scholastic Magazine.
Some sunny day, in a fall of a bird, I'll fly away to the sweetest little thing on earth, my mammy. Oh, how I pine for those lips sweet as wine. They'll be pressed close to mine some sunny day.
That was some totally non-sunny day in the southern hemisphere. A total eclipse of the sun occurred from the East African coast over the Indian Ocean to much of Australia. It was used by the Lick Observatory in Western Australia to test Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. In the course of a 62-mile flight, the French aviator Joseph Sadi Lecointe has become the first person in the history of mankind to travel faster than 200 miles per hour. The U.S. Army dirigible C-2 has completed the first transcontinental flight by an airship across America, taking off from Langley Field in Virginia and landing 9 days later at Ross Field in Arcadia, California.
Angel child, oh baby, I'm just wild about you. Angel child, sweet mama, say that you love me too. In your arms forever I stay. You drive away, gentle and brave when you smile. Oh, Henrietta, I'm in heaven, it's true. But lonesome, things are toil. I'm just putting in miles when I say that I'm wild about you.
Did you know Babe Ruth has an angelic babe all of his own? Yes, he does. The daughter of the baseball star is called Dorothy, and she appears from rare sightings of the child with her parents near the New York hotel in which they live to be about 1 year old. But not until now has Babe acknowledged the existence of his babe. His wife Helen says they kept the little girl a secret because she has been ill since birth. But there are other rumors circulating about the child provenance. In non-baby baseball news, the Cleveland Indians manager Tris Speaker has conducted an unusual experiment by inserting 21 minor league players into a game against the visiting Boston Red Sox. Among the players he brought in was pitcher Elmer Doc Hammond, who faced seven batters, none of whom were called out, giving Mr. Hammond the unusual distinction of an earned run average of infinity for his Major League career to date. As to how the experiment worked more generally, the Indians lost 15-5. Tom Lovelace of the Pittsburgh Pirates has made his first Major League Baseball appearance, playing at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. In the ninth inning, with Brooklyn ahead 9-5, Mr. Lovelace was put into the game as a pinch hitter. He hit a single and then broke his leg while sliding into first base. In case you think these boxing matches are on the up and up, well, not at the World Light Heavyweight Championship fight held in Paris between the reigning champ Georges Carpentier of France and battling Siki of the French colony of Senegal. The colonial fighter had agreed to lose to Monsieur Carpentier in return for not being injured by him. But when the Frenchman knocked him to the mat in the fifth round, Monsieur Siki regarded it as a breach of the deal and determined not to throw the fight. In the sixth round, he knocked Carpentier out, and the referee decided to disqualify him. The ringside judges reversed that decision, and battling Siki of Senegal is now the new world champion. He is celebrating by perambulating down the Champs-Élysées in a top hat and evening dress, accompanied by his pet lion. Perhaps it's the topper, but the lion seems very cowed by the boxer, and the demoiselles are rather impressed.
Can you tame wild women? Can you tame wild women? You made a tiger stand and eat out of your hand. You made the hippo do the flippo. Honest, it was grand. But can you tame wild women? So they'll always lead a sweet and simple life, with a wild ferocious glance that pierced him like a lance. You made the grizzly bear get up and do the hula dance. But can you tame wild women? If you can, please tame my wife.
Tragedy at the inaugural race of the Kansas City Speedway. Tommy Milton won, and the average speed was a remarkable 107 miles per hour, which is significantly faster than the Indianapolis 500. But all spectators will remember of the race is the moment when Roscoe Sales, who finished second last year in Indianapolis, collided with Pete DePaola on the 110th lap. The car crashed and Mr. Sales burned to death. He was 27. While still a student at Trinity College Dublin, Frederick Thomas Troughton observed a relationship between boiling points and energies of vaporizations and concluded the change of entropy per mole for vaporization at a boiling point is constant. This is now known as Troughton's rule and is used to estimate the entropy of vaporization. Mr. Troughton's career was cut short by paralysis. During a medical operation in 1914, Frederick Troughton is dead at 58. Likewise, while still a student, this time at Harvard, Charles Carey Rumsey had one of his sculptures of an Indian warrior exhibited at the 1901 Pan American Exhibition in Buffalo. Millions of Americans have since seen his sculptures. They include the Brownsville War Memorial in Brooklyn and the frieze on the arch to the Manhattan Bridge. Mr. Rumsey was also an accomplished polo player. He was riding as a passenger when the automobile he was in hit a stone bridge abutment on the Jericho Turnpike on Long Island. Charles Rumsey was thrown from the machine and is dead of his injuries at 43. For most of the Young Dominion's history, there was hardly any aspect of Canadian life that Richard Angus did not touch. He was a co-founder of the Canadian Pacific Railway, president of the Bank of Montreal, president of the Royal Victoria Hospital, and governor of the Montreal General Hospital, president of the Montreal Art Association, co-founder and president of the Mount Royal Club, governor of McGill University, vice president of the Victorian Order of Nurses. Despite his accomplishments and his generosity, Mr. Angus was a modest man who twice declined a knighthood. He is dead at 91. In his honour, on the day of his funeral, the Canadian Pacific Railway will stop all its trains across the nation for 2 minutes. And that's the way of the world, September 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.